All right, turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Read through the first five verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll see where the Lord takes us. Now, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned unless he strive lawfully. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the services so far this morning. It's good to have the choir back. And it's good to sing of your faithfulness to us. That should be more than a song, obviously. We need to recognize that in you and hopefully in ourselves as well. But we pray now that you would speak to our hearts through your word. We thank you for the reading of it. We do pray that you'd bless it to our spiritual understanding. And as always, that can only happen if two things are present. Number one, we've trusted Christ as our Savior. We have no doubts, no reservations. If we are born again on our way to heaven, not through anything we have done, but through everything he did on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, shed blood, made the payment for our sins, and we know that we're saved. And secondly, that we are in fellowship with you. That there is no known secret sin, no secret sin that we're harboring. The reason, of course, is that this book can be just as shut as when we were lost, if we're out of fellowship with you. I don't want that to happen, either with me or anybody else here, or anybody watching. So if there is anything, let's clean it up before we move any further. And we just ask now that you do for us what we can never do for ourselves. And once we understand that apart from the Holy Spirit working in us, there is no good thing about ourselves. We can't invent spiritual things. We can only obey them or disobey them. And so the message deals with that. And we just pray that you have your way and that I would not jump into getting in front of where you want me to be. And so we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So for each of us who have been saved by grace through faith, God has bestowed various spiritual gifts to us. So I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. I'll explain these as we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we begin down here in verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, by another discerning of spirits, to another... The reason I'm doing this, my contacts are not rotating, which means I can't, it's like I don't have any glasses on. Discerning of spirits, to another, various diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh then, and I can... Till I can see this, sorry. All these then worketh that and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man according eventually or severally as he will. Sorry, these are multifocused lenses that sometimes the eyes get dry and they don't, once I have my eyes closed, then they don't rotate as quickly. Okay, these gifts were phasing out in the New Testament. If the Word of God was not complete at the writing of 1 Corinthians, obviously, and they would progress to their finality, and once the Word of God was completed and preserved. Okay, so even though there's debate, and my debate is very quick, these are not active in the way they were back in the first century church by any means. And does God work miracles? Yes. Does he heal? Yes, but not the same way. And we know that experientially. All right, here's in Romans chapter 12. I don't want to get too far off course here. Romans chapter 12 in verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. All of these are relevant to the New Testament today and should be operational. One or more of these you have. And I'm not going to go through all of those. Within the body of Christ, these gifts and callings are to be utilized to the power of the Holy Spirit to make the body of Christ efficient, effective, and powerful. We'll get to it. No one person is more important than the other. So if you have a 8-cylinder truck or an 8-cylinder car, and only 7 of those cylinders are working, your vehicle is in trouble. Likewise with the local church. If we have all these various gifts and one of them is not working, we are in trouble. So what happens if maybe only 2 or 3 of the cylinders are working and we are just adamant, we're just going to keep driving this until it runs into the ground. That's what it's going to do. It's going to run into the ground. Disaster. And expensive, too. And I think many, many, many churches, this has happened, and they don't even know it. They've run the church into the ground because nobody's producing, nobody's manifesting these spiritual gifts. There's not a unity of purpose in working. Listen, there are areas, as saved people, which we claim to be, that many times are not deemed as important to us. So I'm going to go through a little bit of a list here, and I'll try not to go into all the verses, but I'll give you some of these. Number one, we're baptized into the body of Christ at the moment of salvation. 1 Corinthians 12:13. In Ephesians 1:13 and 14 and 4:30, the Holy Spirit indwells and seals us at the moment of salvation to the time of when we get to be home with the Lord. I am sealed. I am indwelt and I am sealed. I can't break the seal. I can't walk out on the seal. I'm sealed. If I try to rip the seal, all I'll do is rip my skin. That's all that's going to happen. I can't do it. There's nothing that I can do. Number three, we are heirs with God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ in Romans 8:17. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Hopefully none of these are new to you. Verse 2, 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Right? We are all stewards, bond slaves to Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we are ambassadors of Christ. And in verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5:18, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. It's not given to angels, not given to anybody else. It's been given to believers. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where we started, we are all soldiers of Jesus Christ. I grew up in the Vietnam era. I was lost as lost could be. I had no idea what was going on in Vietnam other than friends of mine were going over there and they didn't come back. And more friends went over and they didn't come back. And I was so glad that I hadn't been drafted. And then guess what I got in the mail? We want you to come down to the draft office. Well, interestingly enough, God did something through me or to me that as a lost person, I didn't ask for. I had no idea it was coming. But my right foot swelled like you wouldn't believe. And I went to the doctor, and he did some tests, and he said, "You." And it was a long word. He says, "You have what Jewish men over 45 have, are heavy smokers." And there was something else. I was none of those. But it was enough to make me 4F. I didn't have to go. In some ways, I praise God for that because I don't know that I'd come home. I mean, we were being slaughtered. We were being slaughtered by the Vietnamese and by our own country's press. It was horrible, horrible. So now, here, later, I get saved and I find out now I am a soldier, even though I didn't want to be. So I had to learn a little bit, what does it take to be a soldier? Well, the Bible spells it out. So go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Growing up in a military home, I know a great deal about the military, how it operates, how it works, how you can put in for a country you want to go to and you never get that country, they just send you where they want to send you. Things like that. All right, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So, the Lord Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. He is the commander-in-chief. So, a good soldier, and go back to Mark chapter 8, is number one, a follower. Mark chapter 8. I know we live in a day where everything is instantaneous. When we got married, we had a little bit of money, not much. We had no credit. And so we knew we needed to establish some credit. And so we didn't go out and buy an entire kitchen, living room, bedroom set. We purchased a refrigerator on 90 days, same as cash. And we established credit. Most people don't do that. They just go out and we'll pay later. And they've been paying for the last 40 years because you never pay it off. So understand, a good soldier, therefore, is a follower. Look at verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after him, me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You cannot be a good leader if you're not first a good follower. A lot of people get saved and they're going to jump into this and going to jump into this, and people will point them to that and to that. It doesn't work. We even found that out here in the church. It doesn't work. In the military, there is almost always somebody in rank above you whose orders you are supposed to follow. So, following the Lord Jesus Christ is not an option. It's a command. Follow me, and then in a different pace of Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And refusal to obey an order in the military is not allowed. And if you do, you could get court-martialed. And yet, there are soldiers of Jesus Christ who take obedience to him and to his word very lightly, like there won't be any consequences or fallout. Because we live in a day where there are no consequences or fallout. So it's easy to include this with the world. But we need to be followers. A good soldier needs to be a follower of Christ. And if this is where you find how to follow him. Number two, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Might have written down the wrong verse, but that's okay. All right, number two. A good soldier of Jesus Christ needs to be a fighter. Verse 12, 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. All right, as soldiers, we are to be trained and taught to be aggressive and confrontational when necessary. You know what fundamentalism used to be called? Militant. A military term. We used to be aggressive. We used to be confrontational. Now, we're like pansies. For the most part. We shirk at anything that might be confrontational. And we're certainly not aggressive. But we need to be if we're going to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. If you were in the military, you would defend your country's honor. But what about heaven's honor? What about God's honor? What about Christ's honor? The word fight is in the, there in that verse is present tense. And that means you don't let up until you're called home. Our first missionaries, when we started at the Holiday Inn, in the first year, we looked around and we got a missionary family that was going to go to Cameroon, Africa. Dwayne and Pam Scholler. And we took them on. And eventually they got their support and they went. And they came back after she got malaria the first term. Pretty sick. And got over it, came back. And gave a report in the church. And they went back. We conversed and fellowshipped here and there. And then the second term, she got malaria again. And this time worse than the first. And she got over it. And then she got it the third time. In the meantime, between the second and third, Duane called me up one night, which was a surprise. There was 6 hours difference. And he said, "Can I talk to you for a little bit?" I said, "Sure." And he says, "I got a problem." He said, "You know, I'm working for a senior missionary. He's been here a gazillion years. And something's going on that I seriously question. I need your wisdom. I have no idea to this day why he called me." And I said, "Well, first of all, can you tell me what it is?" And he said, "Yes. He's bribing the native people, bribing the government to get a property to build." And I said, "Is there any other way?" And he said, "Of course there is. You know, we should be able to get enough money together and do that in the Lord's timing." But he said, "You know, this is what we do down here." And I said, "And you've talked to him?" And he said, "Yes." And he just kind of shrugged his shoulders. "This is what we do in Africa. We bribe the government." And I said, "Well, you need to pray. Maybe you need to talk to the mission board." And so he did. And they shrugged their shoulders as well. And then he called me again. I said, I can't advise you to stay or to go. I said, the Lord has to speak to your heart about that. But if you feel this is that bad, maybe the Lord will put you in another location." And so he did. They sent most to Kenya. But then the third instance of malaria came, and she just about died. They had to come home. He wasn't about to leave. He got sick. She was sick. Their kids weren't sick. Fortunately, they came home, went back up to New York, in Buffalo, and he got a job in a Christian school. I think she worked there as well. And still heartbroken that they had to leave the mission field, yet still serving the Lord as the best they could, and then she died. And he kept on, and then he died. Their heart never changed for a second. I believe if it was possible, that the mission board was the one who forced them off the field because she was so sick and it looked like she wasn't going to make it. But listen, you don't deploy to serve the Lord for a year or 2 years or 4 years of active service. We're always in active service. As long as you breathe, as long as you walk, as long as you talk. Maybe you don't have to talk, but you're in the Lord's service. We're in the Lord's army. Remember that kid's song? Number three, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now remember, a good soldier of Jesus Christ is a follower. And he is a fighter. A lot of people are upset with that word today. Too bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 11. "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." A good soldier of Jesus Christ is familiar with the tactics of the enemy, the strategy of the enemy, and the subtlety of his weaponry. He's subtle. He's deceptive. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's pure evil. Anything that is evil, he is. And so he not only looks out for himself, because you need to look out for yourself, but also those in his company. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Fellowship with other believers is necessary because there's mutual need of being close to each other as soldiers in the battle together against the enemy. I said a long time ago, I learned after I got saved, there are four essentials. Number one, study the Word of God. Number two, pray. Number three, witness. And number four, fellowship with other believers. They are vital. They are essential. You can put yourself out and not have anything to do with anybody else. Your choice. But that's disobedience. That is not being a good soldier. We face a formidable enemy. We need each other. And he's coming after us. Coming after me in other ways that he doesn't come after you. And I need you. Number four. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We were there a little while ago. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. He is faithful. He is faithful. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier of Jesus Christ remains true even when he must face hardness. Faithful doesn't necessarily mean full of faith, but a faithful man will be. It means others can count on you. It means sticking to the thing you have been given to do, regardless of the criticism, the ridicule, or the opposition. The Lord Jesus Christ was and is faithful. His Father could count on him, and so can you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We have a warning verse before the promise. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You think you're something special? You think you've got the victory over this? You think you're just God's gift to everybody? Be careful. Verse 13. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Go back to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. You may be surprised at what I'm going to read, that I can make an application, although the context is a little bit different. Verse 16, Luke 14, 16. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. All right, there's 3 statements that are made there. I'm going to make the application. 3 statements against being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The first and the second are very similar. Both of them are involved in business transactions, the affairs of this life. It's my life. It's my issue. It's my involvement. I can do. But basically, they're carried about with the affairs of this life. I cannot serve the Lord. I cannot be a good soldier because I'm carried about with life as it exists. The third, I've married a wife and can't come. I don't know how many times, I don't know the numbers that I have witnessed this. How many men allow the wife to come between the Lord and them? And how many wives allow the husband to come between the Lord and them? For faithful service. I could spend the rest of the morning giving you heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak where this has happened. It's against being a good soldier. Could you count on any of these three people to fight by your side? Would you want to fight next to them? I wouldn't. Endure hardness means you need to go through some rough patches, treatment, or maybe to suffer and endure together in the company of others of like mind. In a battalion, in a platoon, you're fighting together. You're not all different. You don't say, okay, it's Sunday morning, let's all gather together in the foxhole. And let's battle the battles. Let's fight the spiritual warfare. And then the minute it's over, we go to our own places and we don't have anything to do with anybody else. That is not being a good soldier. That's ridiculous. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens. That's what good soldiers do. Luke 16, you're real close. Verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. For to be faithful in the smallest of small things. You can see things that other people can't see because their head's up in the air. And you're seeing things that are down on the ground. And nobody pays attention to a small thing. But the Lord will reward you for the small thing and give you, put you in large things. And the Lord is saying, listen, if you're a good soldier of Jesus Christ in small things, you're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ in large things. You will be. With a good soldier of Jesus Christ, there's no pretense. There's no ulterior motives. But for the good of the honor to his captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. And no distractions catch him off guard. We know from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, that there are rewards or lack of rewards depending on the motive for what you do or don't do. The stuff that you do to be seen of others would hay stubble. The stuff you see to be seen of Christ, gold, silver, precious stones. You got to get your priorities right here. We're a group of people together. There's a group of people that can be watching. If you want rewards, if you want gold, silver, and precious stones, then your motivation should be the Word of God and operating under the power of the Holy Spirit, not what other people are doing. I know, and I think we know, that there are gifts given to assist you in the battle. Some have many. Some have a few. Everyone has one. Everyone. What you do or don't do determines your future work for the Lord Jesus Christ. No greater blessing than being a living sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ in the Christian life. And realistically, how can we be at peace when the enemies rail against our Lord and the gospel message as well as His word? Yeah, we can have peace of God. We have peace with God in our salvation. But how can we just sit in a spiritual rocking chair? Do what we want when we want. Get up when we get up. And do nothing. Go back to Jeremiah. It's a very interesting verse back here. Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah was pleading for the nation of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. God had told him later on, I don't even want you to pray for those people. They're so disobedient. Jeremiah chapter 4, look at verse 19. He says, My bowels, I'm pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. They were going to be attacked. They were going to be evicted. Many of them were going to die. And he's saying, well, how can I be at peace? Look what Satan's doing everywhere. In the world and in the churches. He's picking it up. The assaults, the attacks are coming more and more. It says, I don't get this. How any of us can sit back and relax while others bear the extra burden of spiritual warfare. Because I need to tell it plainly, if you don't do, then it makes more work for someone else. If I don't do, it makes more work for you. No escaping that. And we have to come to grips with that. Good soldiers of Jesus Christ are followers of Him in all things. They are fighters. They're militant. They're familiar, number three, with the tactics and strategies of the devil. And you know what? I think they're also discerning of bad soldiers of Jesus Christ. And number four, they're faithful. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. The first verse that I memorized was in Christian Ethics class. Stuck with me all these years. Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. We're to be ready all the time. If we're going to have the armor of God, we've got to keep the armor on. Not take it off. We're told in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that people need to be in season, out of season. All the time. Somebody would never call on me for this or that. No, all the time. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. I'm going to build on that. I think we should walk worthy of being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, which we've been called to be. And we're to do this all the time. I think in our homes, our family, our church family, and for the lost. There's no resting here. Our rest is yet to come. Rich said, what are you going to do if somebody comes and takes the church? So I don't know. They may stay here and help. If the guy didn't want me to stay in here and help, the Lord has something else. That's up to him. I would not stop doing what I'm doing. I mean, other than the pastor part, nothing would essentially change. I'm still supposed to be a good soldier. Yes. One thing before we go to the Lord in prayer, ask the Lord. Can you count on me? Can you count on me? And if not, ask Him to fix the problem. Ask Him to fix the priorities to His priorities. Let's pray. As we bow our heads in prayer this morning, we know we're in the end times. We know the time is short before the Lord returns. But banking on that is no excuse to occupy until the Lord returns. He wants us busy for Him. He wants us to be good soldiers. He wants us to fight the good fight of faith. If we together, over the course of years and Bible-believing fundamental people were faithful, there would not exist some of the disgusting things that are going on with people that call themselves Christians in churches that are going on today. But it's difficult to not be liked. It's difficult to be frowned upon. It's difficult to be called, you're legalistic. No, I'm not legalistic. It has nothing to do with our salvation. It has everything to do with what the Lord's asked us to do. If you're here without Christ, He wants to save you. He came to die for you and raise again for you. It's His will that you be saved. But I can't make you saved. And so I just ask the Holy Spirit to impress upon you the need to make things right. Now. And for we who are saved, I know the road is hard. I know the road is rough. I know it's going to get rougher. And it's going to be harder. But the Lord didn't put a condition on our service. Some of us may not be able to do as much as others, but we can do something. We can pray. And we can pray. And we can pray. And some of us can pray and do. The Lord has put us together for a reason. And the reason was not to take isolated people from all the walks of life and just have them saved and then relish in their salvation and nothing more. It takes effort. It takes energy. It takes spiritual power to motivate us to do something for the Lord and be consistent in it. I'm not saying we're not doing it, and I'm not saying we are doing it. But I am saying if the Lord's speaking to your heart, I would plead with you to make things right. If you're here and you're visiting, not a member of the church, that's your prerogative. I would not want somebody or force somebody to try to join the church. But I do ask the question, why not? Why not? If you've been saved, never followed believer's baptism, is this a good time to make that intent known? Same thing with membership. But there again, it's difficult to be a good soldier and not have a church family. It's difficult to be a good soldier and not follow in the first act of obedience after salvation, believer's baptism. Father, I don't come here with any ill will. I don't come here with any my head raised high as though I'm not one of everyone here. I am. And I know the flaws. I know the infirmities. But in all things, and for all of us, the priorities that are of the world, the priorities that are anti-Christian, do not make us good soldiers, and thus make us disobedient. I don't know how else to put it. I just ask you to have your way in the invitation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.